Martial arts and ego. My martial arts is better than your martial arts. Absorb what is useful. Discard what is not. Add what is uniquely your own. Bruce Lee. This is a question as old as time. Who is the best, the fastest, the smartest, the most creative? Long ago, it was simply a question of who is the best at survival and who is the most successful in passing on the genes of the species. Eventually, humans began to organize and grow, and we needed to develop more methodical ways to navigate and understand our world. This is, of course, included determining the best way to fight. In the past, the best style was the one that kept you in power. It usually involved lethal force, applied on a regular basis to ensure that everyone knew you were the best. Fighting styles were developed and employed for all manner of reasons and often involved weapons to protect your land, fight a war, or just win the latest bar fight. For most of human history, specific, usually more precise, complicated, methodical fighting styles were limited to those in the warrior class or nobility. This, of course, would look different from society to society, but as groups clashed, either because of strategy, fighting style, or technology, one would always come on top to be the victor, implying that theirs was the best way. Enter the modern times, where power is more centralized, and, at least in theory, the people determine what is what in many places. In general, simply using violence to take what you want is less and less acceptable, and the once normal lethal nature of combat has become far less palatable. Without death, how do we establish what style is the best and why? That's a good question. In more recent times, due to the UFC and other organizations, we have learned that yes, in fact, some styles are better than others. A basic analysis of UFC champions, click on the link, in recent years shows dominance by certain styles when it comes to one-on-one fighting. Of UFC champs, according to this link, past and present, 28 started in wrestling, 17 in BJJ, 12 in boxing, 6 in kickboxing, and 4 in Muay Thai, 2 in Taekwondo, and 1 in Karate. This indicates a correlation in which grappling is dominant in one-on-one combat, followed by basic striking, that is, of course, without weapons. And to be honest, it's probably missing a few more karate and judo people. I'm not sure how accurate this particular analysis is, but it actually is pretty reasonably done. Of course, the reality is most UFC competitors must learn a variety of disciplines, from striking to grappling, if they expect to do well. George Rush St. Pierre, a.k.a. GSP, for example, was a karateka originally, but ended up being one of the best wrestlers in the cage during his career. Go figure. So really, the best style actually is a mix of the most effective styles out there, and of course, whatever works best for you. However, outside of the best fighting, each in other in the cage, any one person of any one style or non-style can beat any other person. Because while there may be styles that are measurably better than others, the reality is there are many other factors that can come to play in a fight. Skill. This is obvious one for anyone who trains. The more you train, the better you will be and the bigger the gap in skill between you and your opponent. For example, while wrestling is one of the better overall styles as it allows you to dictate the position of the fight, a person who just started wrestling may not do very well against someone who has been boxing for, say, 10 years and has developed amazing footwork. When skills levels are relatively similar, the wrestler can take a punch, then the boxer may be in serious trouble. But imagine if the boxer's footwork is so good that they are constantly moving and striking, making it difficult for the wrestler to close the distance. So this means that if you over or underestimate your skill in any one style, and you run up against someone of a different style, then you may be in big trouble. If you want to increase your skill, you will have to practice with some level of consistency. If you do not, or you are unable to overcome the mental strain of periodic skill plateaus, then your lack of training will hinder you in skill development. Size. As I have mentioned numerous times and will continue to do, size matters. You may have heard, with regards to BJJ in particular, that it allows you to beat a much bigger opponent. This is true when your skill level is high enough and theirs low enough. the skill gap will allow you to compensate for the size gap most of the time. There is, of course, a point of diminishing return where their size is simply too big to overcome. I am sorry to say that no matter how hard you try, if they are too big, they may simply need to grab and hold and squeeze. How you get around this is in the street is by cheating physics with biology, by going batshit crazy and targeting points that are normally illegal for sports. Of course, sometimes it still doesn't matter, but when the size difference is too big, it's often the person willing to use more extreme violence that wins. To emphasize separation between skill and size, let's talk about two UFC champions. Daniel Cormier, who earned the champion title in both light heavyweight and heavyweight weight classes and is a world-class wrestler with good striking skills, versus Khabib Nurmagomedov, also a wrestler, who is the most dominant lightweight at 155 ever. Cormier, when discussing Khabib's skill, said he actually has to try. What he means is that Khabib's wrestling skills are so highly developed that the larger opponent, who is used to just playing with smaller fighters in training, has to actually hit the gas pedal. But as Cormier himself is also a wrestler at a high skill level, his size comes into play. It is clear that were the two to fight, while Khabib would certainly give Cormier a hard time, it is most likely that most of the time Cormier would come out on top due to the relatively similar skills but massive size difference and strength difference on Cormier's part. So if you want to beat bigger opponents, you need a higher skill and crazier mentality. Athleticism. Unfortunately, this is probably one of the most annoying aspects of combat and comparing styles, and when our egos often get in the way of reality and truly underestimate ourselves. I have no shame in admitting that I am no athlete, and unless I train like a professional 4 to 6 hours a day, 4 to 7 days a week, which I usually don't have the time or will for, I will struggle against naturally gifted athletes. In BJJ, for example, I have trained for at least 8 years at this point, and I still run into white belts who either wrestled or engaged in other sports all their lives. And if I'm having an off day or they turn on the athletic dial, I will struggle. It's just a reality. 1,000 years ago, I probably would not have lived this long had I been me, as I wore glasses when I was young and was not very fit. Granted, I didn't have the healthiest childhood, but what wouldn't have been fixed is the glasses thing. In the past, if you were not athletic and healthy, you could never have been a Spartan. Many could have been a for-hire peasant frontline soldier who was really just there to die in order to tire out the enemy force. Again, this is just a reality. If you are not physically gifted, it is going to be much, much, much harder. If you expect to get good at fighting, you will need to train and train and train some more while living a healthy lifestyle. Unfortunately, we live in a world where people want to hide or lie about the fact that natural physical differences between people. Our individual genetics and upbringing are so wildly variable that some people will have an advantage over others when it comes to athleticism and physicality. So get over your ego and work harder if that's what you want. Otherwise, I'm sorry, but it's time to accept reality. Training styles. Okay, this is another super important factor as to why some styles are better than others. The training style. The reason grappling is currently dominant is because grapplers can put in the training time and technique repetitions in a fairly realistic fashion without risking severe head trauma. You can also go close to 100% most of the time fairly early on, at least with people who aren't spastic, on a fairly regular basis. Getting the reps in under duress and realistic scenarios allows you to develop your skills rapidly for real-world combat. This is similar to Krav Maga, where we are not just training the techniques, but the nervous system's ability to act and react in real life at a faster rate. This is how you develop high skill and practical application. Compare this to boxing or kickboxing. In training sparring, you cannot go 100% all the time, or most people would get so messed up they cannot continue to train, let alone fight in the ring. This is because those styles focus on head strikes, and while in life or death combat head strikes are usually needed, it is not conducive to training that simulates a real fight. In boxing, this is why the focus is on hand speed, power, accuracy, footwork, and cardio. They drill these things so much that the ability to rapidly fire for a long time can compensate for the lack of practical sparring. If your training means you will always be injured, you are not, in fact, training very effectively. take the other side of training, the methods of traditional martial arts where they employ katas instead of regular resistance training. While this trains the movement, it does not train the nervous system to fight properly. It is why, while largely unless someone from these styles may possess amazing physical ability attitudes like GSP or Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, though most people practicing these styles may struggle in a real fight, especially when the aforementioned size factor kicks in. Conclusion. Sorry to your ego, but some styles are better than others. It could be because of how they train, or the fact they simply give you more options against a variety of opponents, or perhaps they are just more effective as a matter of fact. But know that any one person in any one style can beat another if things are either equal or you have a certain advantage over the other person. For example, a 15-year-old who has been doing martial arts for 10 years and holds a black belt or two is unlikely to beat a 250-pound NFL linebacker who has a significant size, strength, and athletic advantage. It's just reality. If you are training professionally and you lose, you have to put your ego aside and ask, is this really for you? If it is, then you need to train harder, train smarter, and diversify your skill set. If you are training casually or for self-defense, then understand the different styles is the best way to maximize your ability to defend yourself. But mastering one or more effective styles may be more time efficient. Of course, you could just learn Krav Maga, where we learn a little bit of everything. Not biased at all. But no matter your style, you must remember, on the street, there are many unforeseen factors. Size, skill, athleticism, training methodology, the environment, the element of surprise, and a willingness to do violence, and your mental state. Meaning more things can go wrong, even if you have the advantage. So whether on the street or in the ring, just know some styles are better. But there are many factors to consider beyond that for your own needs. So long as you keep your ego in check and make smart decisions, barring running into a Jon Jones or Khabib in a fight, you will usually come out on top, even if that means you have to run away. Just be honest about your own skill, style, size, and athletic ability, for overestimating yourself and underestimating your opponents will only ever lead to a less desirable outcome. Written by Jonathan Fader. For training online, visit www.utkmu.com. If you are in Metro Vancouver area, come and learn with us in person. Sign up at www.urbantacticskm.com.